I'm Lieutenant Pat Doring, crisis negotiator from WhatCopsWatch.com. And you're listening to the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast. I'm Marla Esser-Close with the Green Home Coach, and we are here gabbing today with Barbara Lee of Trashy Beauty. I just love this concept. Barbara, I love what you are doing with this. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm awesome. It's been a really full day, but a lot of exciting stuff going on.
Same here.
The way we want it, right?
Yeah.
You and I actually haven't met in person yet, although I'm at least excited we get to meet on video. But we've talked a few times, and I think I found you through another podcast.
Yeah, from the Sustainable Mind podcast.
That's right. And I was just fascinated with what you are doing with Trashy Beauty. I love the name too.
Thank you.
So exciting. And you are a beautiful person. I'm going to go that we use trash to make ourselves beautiful, right?
That's the idea.
There you go. Well, tell us a little bit more about Trashy Beauty and how you got started with this.
Sure. The entire concept started because I wanted a way to be able to show people that there are useful things to do with things that they normally throw in the trash, like coffee grounds. Wow. I used to be a barista, and I watched as many, many tons of coffee grounds, spent coffee grounds, were being thrown out, and I knew that they could be used for beauty products. So there are a few companies that already exist that take fresh coffee grounds and make it into a coffee body scrub, some that are quite popular.
Okay.
But I figured if I could do it with a used product, what was normally considered waste, that it would be able to show people that it's not actually waste. There's still some usefulness to it, and then it's going to benefit you. And maybe it could get people to rethink other things that they're throwing away into the trash.
Oh, I love that. You know, I think we all want to do more, but we don't always know how.
I would love to just publish the recipe online and have people make it themselves at home as well, because I think it's something that the more impact we could make is by showing everyone that it's possible to do so.
So then how do you make a business?
Well, the idea for me was really not about building a business or necessarily like making a living off of this company. The idea for me was to just change people's minds. And so if I could get even just one person to change their habits of how they were living within the planet and with Mother Nature, then I've done my task.
Well, there you go. So that sounds like your mission.
For sure.
So the really cool thing is that, you know, there's this synergy between what we're doing. So you take food, right? This huge movement right now towards organic foods, natural foods, and really paying attention to what we put in our bodies. And that's like all the health that goes inside our body. And then what you're impacting is, you know, what we put on our bodies. And I think a lot more people are paying attention to what chemicals are in stuff. And is it repurposing something? Is it another use for it? And then what I do is where your body lives, right? Is in your home. I love the fact that this triangle is coming together for so many people and they're starting to connect the dots.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been kind of all natural with my beauty regimen for a good, I want to say like 10 to 15 years now. So I removed parabens and petroleum and other nasty things from my beauty regimen a very long time ago. And what was kind of nice about the coffee ground scrub was that it was used coffee grounds, organic sugar, sweet almond oil, salt that was like Dead Sea salt, and essential oils. And that was pretty much everything that went into it.
Keep it simple. I love it.
Yeah.
I know sometimes the simplest answers are the best and we kind of forget that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are some really interesting companies that are doing some great things with coffee grounds. There's one in the UK and also one in the Bay Area in San Francisco that is taking the coffee grounds, compressing it and making it into charcoal or logs to use for fires.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah. And it can also be remade into biofuel. So there's a lot of usefulness for coffee grounds. I think at a base level, making it into a beauty product is something that people can do themselves at home. So I wanted to target this type of behavior. But on a large scale, it can be put into the compost. It's really, really high in nitrogen, so it's great for your plants. And there's
that's where mine goes.
Yeah, there's so many ways to use it rather than just throwing it away into the trash, where it's going into this anaerobic environment and then it's not actually decomposing and it's not actually being turned into nutritious soil.
Yeah. We compost too, but the bunnies have found the compost pile.
Oh no.
I think we're feeding the bunnies more than we're composting, but that's okay. At least it's going back to nature, right?
I'm like, we can talk about your compost methods. I think there's some ways around that.
Yeah. Well, we were trying this fabric composter, this huge fabric bag, but it's that real thick yard. Like you can buy pots made out of this fabric.
Yeah.
Bunnies like that, we found out.
Yes. My friends use one that's basically like an upside down barrel. So the barrel has like nothing on the bottom so the worms can get in. Then they just have like it closed on the top. And then they can just open this very quickly to throw additional compost in. And then it just decompresses as they go. And then they have a little opening on the bottom. And then they just like dig out the fresh, the good soil compost at the bottom.
Did they make that or buy that?
Nope, they made them.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that one's a really fantastic one. Those are my friends in New Zealand. So that's their compost system. And it's honestly, it barely fills up because it's this 50-gallon drum.
Right.
And it takes a really long time for the compost to decompose, but it's doing it in this really great system where it keeps all the moisture in. It's like self-driving.
Anything that's self-driving, yeah, I'm all in favor of that. Which reminds me, I need to order a few things. You reminded me of that.
Good.
Well, we found these really cool rain barrels that are made out of recycled, repurposed olive, the big, huge olive barrels that they bring over the olives from Italy in and wherever else olives comes from. But yeah, like our water district here, somebody that's associated with the water district brings them over in bulk and then you can just go, you order them and you go pick them up and it's like half the cost of having them shipped.
Cool.
There's all kinds of great solutions out there. And, you know, I always kind of rethink back to the three R's, right? The basics. That's okay for all you guys out there that don't remember this. It's reduce, reuse, recycle. So the last thing you want to do is recycle, right?
Yep.
So first thing is don't use as much of it or just use what you need and then repurpose what you're doing. Love it, love it, love it. And then recycle. And everybody always asks me, so what's the difference in repurposing and recycling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of this as upcycling the coffee grounds.
There you go. I like that even better.
Yeah. It's like it could go to the compost, but I'm making it into this premium product. And I've gotten such a great response from people who are like, I have really sensitive skin. I feel really weird about throwing coffee on my body. I don't drink coffee. Why would I put it on my skin? And then they use it and they're just like, actually, this is really fantastic.
So I don't remember if I read it on your website. I'm sure I did. That I did not realize all the benefits to coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the caffeine gets absorbed into your skin and it helps tighten your skin cells and it helps remove some of the water from your fat cells. And so it actually helps tighten and helps with reducing cellulose.
Well, I know I've seen caffeine used in other creams and things before, so that would make sense.
Yeah.
That would make total sense. So actually, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to chat more about how you came up with this idea and where you're going with it and how else you hope to impact the community. So hang tight, folks, and we'll be back to gab more with Barbara of Trashy Beauty.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can with perpetual advertising. Here's how it works. Unlike TV or radio ads, where every instance the ads are broadcast, they're only played once and lost forever. Perpetual advertising can have repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, and even years after they're inserted in a podcast. So even if a podcast is a few years old, your ads will still be impactful to repeat listeners as well as new listeners. This gives your advertising dollar the most bang for the buck. Find out more about perpetual advertising at twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
Check out the book Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices for a Better Home, to make simple changes to buying habits that affect a home both inside and out. Marla Esser-Close shows consumers ways to make any home a green home. Get the book now at livinggreenbook.com. That's livinggreenbook.com.
Hi, I'm David Knoll from Walter Knoll Florist. You're listening to The Green Gab.
Gabbing with Barbara of Trashy Beauty. Barbara, when I introduced you, I completely forgot to introduce you as a fellow podcaster too. Yeah. And tell us a little bit more about your podcast.
Sure. So it's called Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. And the idea is to interview women who work in the sustainability, conservation, and green business fields. So everything from marine biologists to marketers who work in Africa to people who run businesses where they're trying to make the planet a greener place, like eco bags. They were the original first reusable shopping bag in the US. They started back in 1989 at the first Earth Day Festival in New York, which is like such an amazing like 30-year sprint that Sharon has had.
And Green Gab listeners, we're going to have a podcast with Sharon in a few weeks. So stay tuned and check our feed because we are bringing Sharon on. She has been a ton of fun to get to know. Thank you so much for the introduction.
Yeah, absolutely. Sharon's so inspiring. I can't believe she's been doing it for 30 years.
And I know.
This is the idea with the podcast, is to just help shine a light on the different voices of people who are working in sustainability and conservation. I think there's so many different ways to tackle this problem and this issue. And people have so many different questions, from what they consume to what's happening in the world to, you know, what is a carbon offset credit? And so I want to be able to answer all those questions and get some fresh voices out there and maybe encourage people to, one, live more sustainably, but also maybe pursue something green for your career. It's never too late to make a career change. And I think people get this misconception that it's like all about doing conservation work and not making any money or working for a nonprofit. And I want to show them that there are so many jobs out there, so many companies that are looking to do something good for the planet.
And even more exciting, well, not more exciting, but anyway, as exciting, is that there's so many companies that we deal with on a day-to-day basis and that are everyday household names that are really embracing sustainability in their basic business models. And there's so many more opportunities, so many more people, and so many more ideas that are coming to the forefront right now. And for any of our listeners out there, if this is something that's of interest to you, or you want to know more about your company or what your company can do, I urge you to reach out to people like me and Barbara, because we can help direct you and we can help connect you up with resources and what people are doing. And there's a lot more going on than I think a lot of people know. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is because some of it's kind of buried in the business model, and some of it's because we stick our heads in the sand and only pay attention to what we pay attention to. But, you know, we don't know what we don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I love that idea of connecting. You and I are very simpatico souls on that, because that's exactly what the Green Gab is working to do as well. It's just get these people out there so people can learn something new.
Yeah.
And better yet, take action. Just do something.
Yeah. That's always at the end of my podcast. It's like, what is your tip for living a more sustainable life? And I really love some of the responses that I've gotten, even from like friends of mine who are like, you know, I did want to live more sustainably, but I thought it was going to have to be this huge shift in my lifestyle change.
Yeah.
And they made like two small changes. My friend Tom is like the best example. He swapped out his disposable utensilware for a reusable set. And so while he's traveling to all these different clients, he's using his reusable set instead of using plastic. And then he got a compost bin in Chicago, which is like a little, you know, not particularly well known for being a green, sustainable city, but he went out of his way to find someplace where he could get it. And I was like, this is amazing that he's going out of his way to do this. And honestly, it's something you do once a month on a Saturday. It's really not that big of a shift, but it makes a huge difference.
Yep. Now I am so totally in line with that. And that's one of the things I urge people to do, is just pick five things that you can do in your home or in your life and make a shift. And a lot of times it's as simple as buying something different or not buying it at all. And I think we get in our habits so much that we forget that we have a choice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and absolutely. And I would encourage anyone who's interested in podcasts and really enjoy listening to these different stories to tune into Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. I'm on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and CastBox and all the different podcast players.
There you go. You can just look them up both. Just look up the Green Gab podcast and Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, and you'll get two great fun-filled podcasts all rolled up into one app. I know. It's kind of, it's been fun exploring different podcasts and different books and what people are doing, because there's a lot of thought leadership out there right now. And I know, you know, there's so many people that just, like I said, they don't know what they don't know. And this is a great way to get started. If you don't know how to listen to a podcast, but you're listening to this, no. Well, if you're listening to this one on the computer and you want to learn how to do podcasts on your phone, ask somebody, because they're super easy. And I play them in my car a lot of times instead of the radio.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely fun to listen to on my morning commute in New York City.
Oh, I bet. I bet. The podcast supports what you're doing as well, your mission. And then how did you get going with Trashy Beauty?
It was so funny. The idea came to me when I was on my way moving to New York City this past summer. I was on the airplane and I was thinking about what could I do that could show people how to live more sustainably and change people's minds about what they're throwing away. And I had been baristing all summer. And I was on the airplane and I was thinking through this idea and it actually just hit me like while I was on the airplane. And I wrote out basically a 1 to 10 year business plan of everything that I want to do.
Nice.
Yeah. And this was kind of the first step of what I wanted to try to do. So collecting coffee grounds from cafes locally around New York City, I'm rescuing them from the trash, turning them into a beauty product. And then getting people to rethink what they're putting on their bodies and what they're throwing away.
I love that because it's a win-win-win. I mean, you're rescuing trash, you're repurposing it in a way that's healthier and good for us, and you're doing something to help spread the word how to rethink stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that was good. I came up with three on the cuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the podcast is kind of the next step. And then my next goal this year is to really try to help build a green community here in New York City. So nice. We're doing a farm tour of a local hydroponics farm that's located in the basement underneath a 2-Michelin-star restaurant in Tribeca. So we're doing that in late February. And then in April, we'll be doing a showing of the Wasted documentary and inviting some sustainable food and drink companies to come and talk about what it is that they're doing.
Wow. You got some big things going on there.
Yeah. And there are more things to come. I assure you there's some long-term business goals that I've got for myself.
That's awesome. Oh, I love hearing it, you know, and things will change because new things will drop in your path, but you stick to your mission and I will be all kinds of fun stuff coming your way. I'm always amazed at how many twists and turns. If you told me 2.5 years ago that I'd have a podcast with 70 episodes out there, I would have told you were nuts. But there you go.
Yeah. And podcasting's hard. I basically have to kind of cut out my social life on Sundays and just dedicate 8 to 10 hours to produce my podcast episodes.
I understand. Podcasting is a lot of work and I actually have help and it's still a lot of work. So I get you.
Yeah. So for all my friends out there who wonders why I don't make plans with them on the weekends, this is what I'm doing.
Well, you know, purpose and passion, it's all a good thing, right?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. Definitely trying to balance my life. I have a day job where I work full time as a recruiter in the tech industry. And so the podcast is kind of my little additional side project and I'm not looking to monetize it. I'm just looking to provide value to this community.
There you go. And that's an awesome thing to do. So do you get a chance to kick your feet up a little bit?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm actually headed off for vacation next week.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're getting a little balance there.
I definitely do. And then one of the things for me, because I spent 2.5 years traveling before I moved back to the States and started working in New York City. And so now whenever I take these smaller trips, I always make sure to offset the carbon from my travel. So
how do you do that?
I look up a carbon offset program. I go through one in particular that's called Wildlife Works Kenya. I worked out on their site in Kenya for a few weeks, almost I think a month and a half. And I know what their project is like. And so I really trust that the credits are going to a project that's very holistic. Their idea and their approach is protecting the land so that you're not building and releasing the carbon, creating community programs to allow for job creation for people so that they're not destroying the land and the animals. And then also creating greener ways to do things like collecting water and catchments and being able to create eco-charcoal just from like shrub clipping rather than chopping down whole trees. And then they also have an eco-factory to help with some of the job creation as well. And since I've seen the project firsthand, I feel really confident that, you know, it's going towards something good. And it's really inexpensive to offset your carbon. It's like $13 a month.
Yes. So for some listeners, this whole idea of offsetting their carbon may not the one they know of yet. So can you explain a little bit more?
Sure. So the idea is that every time you do something, there's carbon that's offset. So when you eat something, when you drive a car somewhere, when you
fly a plane or fly in a plane.
Yeah. And, you know, the production of clothing, everything that we do releases carbon, which is part of this natural carbon process. But a lot of it is being released into the atmosphere. And being able to recapture that in the form of soil or in new trees is going to help reduce the amount of it that is warming up our planet and creating these different temperature and weather changes. So when you help fund certain carbon programs, they either go towards planting new trees or helping to keep carbon in the soil. There's a lot of carbon that's in our soil that like retains there. And as soon as you start tilling and farming, it releases the carbon into the atmosphere. So the idea for this project in particular at Wildlife Works is just helping to keep the carbon in the ground rather than being released.
Yeah, I was reading something the other day about a group of ranchers that were working to keep the carbon in the ground through their ranching practices.
So yeah.
So kind this of exciting is, to see everybody pitching in and doing, you know, finding an idea.
Yeah. So this is the idea, is that by offsetting your carbon, it's going towards projects that whatever carbon you offset, and it's like measured in like parts per pound. Actually, I have to look that up. I'm not actually sure what.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've looked too.
I should know too. But so whatever carbon you release, it kind of picks an equal number that planting a new tree can sequester from the atmosphere. So it's really cool because the idea is basically just recapturing the carbon that you output. And you can offset more than you make if you would like. And there's some really cool projects to do this with. My friend, who's a marine biologist, uses a seagrass program because it's in line with what she does.
Cool. Yeah, we'll post links to the ones that we talked about here on the show notes so that folks can go check them out. And I know there's a lot of programs out there. So, you know, feel free to do your own due diligence and research and find one that works for you. But you're right, it's not a huge expense, and it's a way to feel a little better about what we're contributing. And you know, it's a trade-off. We impact this earth, we just want to hopefully keep it in balance, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's cool things that are happening. Like in the EU, they've started requiring any European-based flights to have the carbon offset as part of a portion of the ticket that you purchase. So it's cool to see that people are trying to make this a little bit more intuitive and easier to do. But if you're someone who's dedicated and wants to make a small change and help some project, then yeah, think about offsetting your carbon.
Sweet. Well, hey, let's take a just quick break and we'll gab some more.
The Two Guys Talking Podcast Bug, a truly original autonomous mobile recording solution. Get bit by the podcast bug. www.podcastbug.com.
You can try and learn about voiceover all by yourself, or you can get you and your voice to school. Check out Voice Farmers Voiceover Academy today and learn how you can make money with your voice. It's all available over at voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Baseball. It's way more than just balls and strikes. And if you've ever driven or walked by a cornfield and heard a small but vital voice urge you to act, then you've only got one thing left to do. Check out the Two Guys Talking Baseball Perspective Review of 1989's Field of Dreams. Starring Kevin Costner, a bunch of dead baseball players, memories, and the way to have a catch with your dad. Step up to the digital plate today by accessing twoguystalkingbaseball.com. Only from the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
I'm Chief Chris DiGiuseppe from WhatCopsWatch.com, and you're listening to The Green Gab Podcast with Marla Esser-Close.
Back on The Green Gab, Gavin with Barbara, and you are a treasure trove of information. Thank you so much for sharing all these ideas. I could sit here and talk to you all day, but I promise I won't. I know we need to do other things. Offline, we were starting this conversation about the pros and cons of your business with a physical product. And this is a hard conversation to have when you're making something because it's part of your business model.
Absolutely. And I think there's some portion to me as a person where I don't believe in creating physical products because it creates packaging and it creates waste. And a lot of our packaging is still coming from China, whether we wanted to or not. Yeah. And there's a lot of intricacies to trying to find packaging that's high barrier that can withstand oils. So when I was trying to find the best packaging for what I was doing, I was only able to find one small company in Canada that made a completely biodegradable packaging that had a high barrier, and the highest barrier they had was still not enough to withstand the oil.
Oh.
And that's not their fault at all. It's just that when you have something that's biodegradable, anytime that it comes in contact with oils or moisture, it's going to start to degrade. And so when you leave a product that's high in oils and fats into something that is essentially made out of vegetable cellulose,
yeah,
it's going to start degrading. And so
yeah, a little bit of chemistry going on there, don't we?
So it's interesting because even with all the biocompostable packaging that we have now, there's a big difference between biodegradable and compostable. And I think people don't understand the difference. And there's a difference between home compost and commercial grade compost. And so you get into a lot of intricacies when you're trying to build a physical product company about what's the most sustainable way to do things. And that's never an easy question. It's ordering raw materials, having them shipped to your house. Where did the raw materials come from? They're coming in plastic containers. They're lined in plastic barriers. Companies are not transparent about what it is that they're making their packaging from. And they're really difficult to get in contact with because they're on the other side of the world.
You know, simple things like one of the stores I really like to shop at, a lot of my produce comes bagged and I hate that. And I recycle the bags, but it's not the same as not having them.
Right.
And you know, then I struggle with, well, do I go to the store that doesn't have as good a produce as I like, but doesn't package everything? So here's the point, folks, is there's trade-offs for everything. And a lot of making those trade-offs and that evaluation is up to your personal values and what you really want to stand for and what's going to be your priorities, right? I mean, that's what you've had to deal with. And sometimes we learn more and are able to shift it. So for instance, you were saying that sharing the recipe was one way for you to move forward and still find value in what you're doing in addition to creating this idea and this product. And you know, I guess there will be a balance of that, of what meets your needs and the business needs and the needs of your clients and customers.
Yeah.
You're right in the middle of a conversation that a lot of companies are struggling with right now.
Yeah.
And then we're shipping stuff around. So you want, okay, here's my favorite. You go buy a pair of shoes. And shoes have to be the most overpackaged item I think I've ever bought. Except for the ones you buy hanging on the little plastic hook, right? But you go and there's a plastic inset inside the shoe. There's tissue paper wrapped all around the shoe. Sometimes there's a plastic divider in the box. And then all of that is wrapped in paper. And then it's in a box that normally isn't very recyclable because it's got some other stuff in it, or it's wax coated or something else. And then you gotta throw that in the trash. And it's like, whoa, you know, so this whole idea of packaging is something that I think a lot of people don't necessarily consider. They're just like, oh, you know, it has a recycle symbol on it, so it's fine.
Right. And then the recycling issue is a whole nother problem. I'm starting to realize that this is a much more complicated issue. And it's something that I actually got a listener question on my podcast in regards to. So I'm reaching out to some experts in the recycling field to try to answer this question. Because I don't know if you heard, but China's starting to reject some of the plastics that are coming from the US because it's being mixed incorrectly. They're processed too much. And the price of oil has dropped. And plastics made from oil. So as soon as the oil price drops, it also drops the value of retaking our plastics. And so I think to some degree, the answer is to be an under-consumer rather than an over-consumer. And I really love this concept of under-consuming. And as much as people want to make fun of me because I really don't like buying new products, I'm still a very big proponent of it.
No, I totally hear you. And none of us can do it 100% all of the time.
Sure.
And one thing I try to remind folks with is do something and then celebrate what you can do. I'm not a big blame and shamer, but, and I have a feeling you might agree with this, but educate yourself, learn something new and try something new. And I have to laugh because this particular part of the country where I am is a little bit less engaged than where I came from. And you go into like a natural food store and you still see people walking out with plastic bags. And I'm like, why is a natural food store even producing, you know, providing that plastic bags? That just seems to me kind of in conflict with what I think they're representing. But obviously they haven't arrived at that conclusion yet. But folks, simple things matter, right? You know, take your own bags when you go to the grocery store, and don't put your produce in a plastic bag if you can help it. You know, just, if, you're so right. If you can underconsume and just use less, that's just a huge step in there, in a direction. And we've got a big plastic problem that a lot of us don't recognize because we're not on a beach, we're not in the ocean daily, and we don't see it. And it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. And I, this is part of the reason why I do believe in traveling and seeing the world. I think when you leave the confines of what you're used to, you get exposed to what's actually happening out there and what the consequences are of even our actions here. And so I would encourage people to get out and see things. And I know, especially in New York City, there are ways to go visit the wastewater treatment plant. You can go visit the e-waste facility in the Lower East Side Ecology Center and volunteer there. You can go and see the actual trash sorting facility in New Jersey. There's so many places where you can go and just expose yourself to what's happening. And I would really encourage people to just kind of check out what's going on around you, be vocal, and don't worry too much about beating yourself up about things, and just work on progressing forward.
I could not agree more. I really applaud that. Thank you. And I, you know, always kind of have to laugh when people say, well, I just threw it away. And it's like, yeah, but do you know where away is?
Yeah, New York City, I don't know if you know this, but they export 100% of their trash because there's no landfills. And so I think it's something like 60% of it goes to Pennsylvania.
And who wants to import trash?
Other cities, because they make a lot of money from it. But I think it's something like, and I would have to quote Meredith on this to be certain, but I think it's something like 2 football fields worth of trash is taken and removed from New York City every day.
I wouldn't doubt it. Going through New York City before trash day is kind of a mess with everything out on the streets. It's been a long time since I've been there, though. But yeah, it's, I mean, I was in St. Louis for years, and I don't remember how many landfills we closed while I was there.
Ooh.
Several. Yeah, because they fill up. Yeah, I wonder if someday in the future they will mine our landfills for materials.
Potentially. It's going to be like a Wally situation. That's how I imagine it.
It could be easier to mine the landfills than to actually go find raw materials. So who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I encourage people to have these like tougher conversations with people. And I know it's always daunting. And I know even I get a little scared sometimes to have these in-depth conversations about like microplastics and things like that. But I think it's interesting to still talk about it and know that even though we don't have a perfect solution now, at least we're becoming aware of the issue. And it doesn't have to be 100% turnaround of how you live your life, but making those small steps towards having more natural fibers in your clothing and doing more natural things for your beauty regimen and making sure that only, you know, natural things are being put into your body. I think this is just all we can do.
Yeah, I agree. And that's, you know, so much of it. I shop a lot of secondhand stores now. And, you know, some of it happened because I just got tired of spending so much money on clothes all the time. And I was heavy and I wanted not to spend a fortune on clothes that I hoped I was wearing a very short time. But what I discovered is that was living by my values, because there was perfectly good clothes sitting in the secondhand shop that were getting more life because I could use them and helping my pocketbook out a little too. I'm like, that's a good one. That's a win-win. But there's so many different ways to think of this, folks. And, you know, we encourage you to listen to our podcast and read books and our blogs and let us help you, you know, point to other people that can also give you great ideas. So that conversation is well worth having. And I appreciate your time today to have this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would encourage people to check out my website and my podcast and the blog where I post some information about the coffee body scrub. I wouldn't necessarily encourage you to purchase the coffee body scrub, but if you reach out to me and you want to know how to make it yourself, I'm super happy to share.
Okay, will you send me the recipe?
Sure.
I'm a coffee drinker. Yeah, so what's your website address?
It's trashybeauty.com.
And your podcast is up there as well, correct?
Yep, you can go on the Listen tab, look for it on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts. And if you want to visit my actual podcast hosting website, it's trashtalkingecowarriors.fireside.fm. And reach out to me. I'm Barbara at trashybeauty.com.
And you're pretty easy to find and pretty easy to talk to.
Yeah.
Well, last words of advice. I think you've had a barrel full of wonderful advice throughout our conversation. So thank you for that. But one last tip you can think of, or have we gone through them all?
Oh, so many. I'm like just trying to pick one. I'm like, stop using straws. Just buy one reusable straw and stop sucking.
That's a great one. Get a sippy cup instead of a straw.
They sell beautiful glass, bamboo, metal, and so many other silicone straws. Like, there's so many different types of reusable straws and the pipe to clean them. And it's going to put you back all of like $6. You can carry it around with you in your purse or your bag or use it at home or your office. And they're absolutely life-changing. It actually is one of those things where you start using it and you're like, I didn't know my life could be this great. You're like,
change your life with a straw.
Yeah. Well, even like, because we got them at my office at work, and I saw one of the girls like making very good use of them. And I was like, how awesome are these metal straws? And she's like, literally life changing. She's awesome. Like, I have them at home, but now that we have them at the office, and I've been a big push at my office for getting like the reusable straws and getting like tea strainers so that we can stop having like the bags and everything like this. So, you know, even if it's not huge, I like making a small difference.
Every little bit counts. So totally agree. Well, Barbara with Trashy Beauty, thank you so much for being on the Green Gab podcast. And we are excited to follow you and all of the great things that you bring to this world as we're exploring it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Marla. I really appreciate it.
I've enjoyed it so much. And hey, listeners, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. That really helps us out. And please subscribe if you haven't already to the Green Gab and to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. We will see you next time. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab podcast and for joining us on our own personal green odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. Links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.